This week on the show, Adam Jones from 98.5 The Sports Hub joins us to talk about the Red Sox and who else? David Price. Plus, we remember one of the greatest video games of all time. All that and more coming up. Calling It starts right now. Hey, you're back.
I am.
Alex Leibowitz returns to the show after 2 weeks off. This is the Calling It podcast, powered by CLNS. Good to have you back, sir, for 1 week.
It's good to be
least.
Back. Yeah, it's been a little bit of a hiatus.
So the summer is as such. I will say, you did miss a lot, actually.
I missed free agency.
The NBA imploding. You missed the Bruins missing out on Tavares and Carlson. You missed a lot. Mm-hmm. The one thing you didn't miss, though, is the Red Sox. They are cruising. They do have the best record in baseball, but at the same time, it's very clear this team has its faults. So how do you criticize a team that has the best record in baseball, even with their flaws? How do you go about knocking that team down? We put out the back signal, and we are now joined by the Dark Knight himself. Adam Jones from 98.5 The Sports Hub is on the phone. Adam, how are you doing?
I am doing excellent, guys, especially with that lead-in. I will do my best to pay off.
Well, I'll lob you a softball. And speaking of lobbing and softballs, how much longer till David Price is on the DL?
Ooh, good question. I think with him, he's just such a personality that you have to manage and, you know, make sure that you're handling properly, that you don't want to offend him, right? And he's easily offended. He's easily, I don't know, bothered by benign things, simple questions about starts on Sunday Night Baseball that, you know, he gets super passive aggressive about. So, I mean, I don't know. I know his relationship with the media. I know his relationship with John Farrell a year ago wasn't so hot. I guess know how it's going with Alex Cora and Dombrowski this year, but he's a guy I would manage. I mean, he's a guy that I would be careful to offend, because I think he could send things going the wrong way in that clubhouse. For as much as we don't like him, or I don't want to speak for you guys, as much as I don't like him.
No, we're all on board.
many Red Sox fans don't like him. I think his teammates do, and if he feels like he's been slighted and players in that clubhouse feel like you're treating him the wrong way or treating him unfairly, I would be worried about how that proceeded. So that's a long way of saying he better be on board. If you're going to make up an injury for him, he better be on board.
So a few moments ago, John Morosi of the MLB Network, he tweeted out, asked David Price about the possibility of opting out after this year. He said, quote, "I want to win. I want to win here, and I want to win now. We all know the amount of ability we have in this clubhouse. I'm focused on winning right now. I haven't thought about opting out," end quote. So today's June 9th, Monday, June 9th. Will David Price opt into that option or not?
Oh, I think he absolutely will. Like, and I've said this many times. And by the way, I had not seen that tweet from Morosi, but that's complete BS. For him to say that he hasn't even thought about opting out. He has to have been thinking of opting out. He's been here, what, 2.5 years? For about, 2 years and 2 months, he's been thinking about opting out ever since we first started getting on him back in April or May of his first season in Boston. So, you know, he's going to opt in. I think for his own sanity, he may want to opt out. You know, it's easy to say I'm not the one leaving millions and millions and millions of dollars on the table, but, you know, his own sanity, his own happiness seems to be at stake. I've said this a million times, though. If he opts in, any of the remaining David Price defenders that are out there, and there are still some, they're dwindling, but there are still some. I think most people have come around and seen him for what he is, fans and media alike. If there are any David Price defenders out there who think that we're too hard on him or, you know, he's gotten a raw deal here in Boston, he has the out. It's up to him. No one else can control it. If he wants to leave, if he doesn't want to be here, then go. And if he wants to stay here, whether it's for money or whatever other reason, then he can shut up about complaining about, you know, not wanting to be here or not being treated properly or, you know, being a pariah and a scapegoat, and again, being treated unfairly. If you really feel that way, David, if you really feel that way, then leave. It's up to you to leave. You'll be leaving some money on the table. You'll be sacrificing, but don't tell me that your happiness is what you care about. If you care about your happiness, then go pitch somewhere else. Go pitch somewhere like Tampa or St. Louis where, you know, you're cheered no matter what you do. I mean, in St. Louis, you're cheered no matter what you do. In Tampa, you'd actually need fans to do that. But you know what I'm saying? Where you're supported and you're not criticized. If that's what you want, then go do it. You can control it. But I think he'll opt in because I think he wants to chase the money. That's why he came here in the first place. That's what most athletes would do, by the way. So I fully expect to be stuck with him for another, whatever it is, 3 or 4 years beyond this year.
So just to get back to that quote real quick, Adam, do you believe the first part that he wants to win here and he wants to win now? Do you think he's actually focused on getting a ring this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think he wants to win here. I think he knows that's the only way he'll shut people up. So I agree with that. And, you know, so many, I've made the comparison before, so many want to compare him to John Lackey. Oh, well, winning cures all and winning fixes everything. And that is true. I mean, John Lackey, who I am still not a fan of, I will begrudgingly tell you to this day that contract that I didn't like from day one ended up being worth it. That ended up being a worthwhile contract because he won this team a World Series. As much as I wasn't a fan of him personally and all the crap that he brought to the table, he ended up being worth it. So if David Price wins, you're going to get the same deal. You'll get the same exact situation. The problem is Lackey had proven prior to coming to Boston that he could win. He could pitch well in big games. He did it in Game 7 of the World Series with the Angels when he was a rookie. He came out and won Game 7. You know, David Price still has not won a start in however many years he's been in the big leagues, a decade plus. He has not won a start in the postseason. And John Lackey won a Game 7 as a rookie. So there is no comparison when it comes to their big game pedigree, and there was a little bit more in John Lackey's past that would indicate he could do it. But I believe David Price, when he says he wants to win here, it would be nice to win here. That would get everybody off his back. He's right about that. I don't see them winning if he is a big part of their team. He's not a winner. He's been a loser his whole career, and you know I don't see that changing under the bright lights in October.
We'll keep it positive. Jackie Bradley Jr. He's he's someone obviously very streaky, and you just acquired Steve Pierce. You have some depth in that outfield. I'm in the camp that Jackie Bradley Jr. should have been traded 2 years ago. Why not this year when you have some needs in that bullpen, even if it's not very much? Why haven't they pulled the trigger on moving him out of Boston yet?
My guess is because they think they can get more for him, or they thought they could anyway, you know, in the past. And I think they've just always had an overinflated view of what he is. You know, I don't think he's special. You know, I think people say think I'm kidding or laying it on thick when I say he might be the worst center fielder in the division. And I think defensively he is no better than third. Look at the year Aaron Hicks is having in New York. The shine's come off Adam Jones a little bit in Baltimore. That team's a mess. You know, he's plateaued, but he's still, you know, an all-star center fielder, although Bradley's made an all-star team before. You know, he's still 25 home runs and a .260 average every year like that. You hope and pray Jackie Bradley could do that. You'd kill to have Jackie Bradley do that. So, you know, maybe I'm too harsh on Bradley at times, but I think they've always had an inflated view of what he is. He'd be a really, really, really good fourth outfielder. You know, a guy who could start in a pinch, who could start for a month if you have somebody go on the DL, or if he gets hot, you play him. But ideally, he's a defense first guy. There's a little bit of pop in his bat, which I think makes him useful. But everyday first division regular on a team like the Red Sox, I've never thought he was that kind of player. I've never thought he was that kind of player. And, you know, when they've won World Series, think about some of the options that they've had in center field. You know, you had Johnny Damon in 2004. You had the Ellsbury-Coco Crisp combination in 07, which maybe admittedly wasn't great. And then in 13, you had the combination of Victorino and Ellsbury. Like, you know, you had talent at that spot, offensive talent at that spot. You don't have an all-glove, no-hit kind of guy. That hasn't been their pedigree. So I think if you're the Tampa Bay Rays, you know, I think if you're the Minnesota Twins, you're a small market team and you gotta save money here and there and cut corners here and there and maximize things, a defense first center fielder with some pop in his bat's pretty useful. I think on a big market club like the Red Sox, he's never been a great fit, and I just think they believe he's more than that. I think they think his value is more than a reliever, and right now I don't even think they could get a reliever for him.
So when you're looking at trades, and it seemed pretty cut and dry up until yesterday, the Red Sox needed a reliever, a starting pitcher, perhaps an outfield bat, perhaps a catcher. Blake Swihart, as bad as he's been, was the guy that, you know, could move. Now that you have the injury to Christian Vasquez, he's broken pinky, Blake Swihart becomes the backup catcher. How does that complicate things at the deadline for the Red Sox? And is Blake Swihart still the guy to move, or who else can they move now to get some? Because I think we all know they need to add somebody to this roster to win a World Series. How can they go about doing that now, being handcuffed with Blake Swihart as the backup catcher?
Well, so I'll answer the second part first, and I don't know what kind of market there is for Swihart, but I think this is a good opportunity to let him catch. I don't know if they're going to, but this is a good opportunity to let him catch. I don't know what he could fetch on the market right now. I mean, I think teams would be interested, but I think you're selling way low on Blake Swihart, and I think they know that, which is why they've held on to him for so long, because there's no real market for him out there. To answer the second part, which I said I was going to answer first and then didn't do, I think there's a lot of teams selling, which is the one good thing for the Red Sox. Like, I really do think it's a seller's market out there. And Dave Dombrowski has shown he can get useful pieces, not great pieces, but useful pieces for, you know, non-prospects. I mean, look at what he dealt for Addison Reed. Look at what he dealt for Brad Ziegler. Look at what he just dealt for Steve Pierce. I mean, those are not high-impact, highly sought-after prospects. Like, he's been able to make deals for useful people before, and I think he does a very underrated job at reading the market. I really do. I don't know if I've done this spiel with you guys before or not, but I don't get why he's so underappreciated as a GM in Boston. I really think he's underappreciated as a GM. I know he stripped the entire farm system. I get that. But how good was that farm system to begin with? Like, what prospect that he traded? He traded Travis Shaw. And that one is looking terrible, and I think that deal's only going to get worse. I would not call Travis Shaw a prospect when the Red Sox traded him. He was a quadruple A type player, like a journeyman type player. That's probably not fair to him, but he was the guy who hadn't settled in the major leagues. And prospects you look at and say, boy, I can't believe what this guy's doing outside the organization. I really don't look at a prospect that Dombrowski has dealt away and feel like they lost out. In fact, Swihart might be a guy they held on to for too long. That might have been a guy they should have dealt when his trade value was higher a few years ago. And I think Dombrowski doesn't get any credit for keeping Benintendi, for instance, instead of trading Yoan Moncada. Like, he kept the right guy and dealt away the right guy in the Chris Sale deal. And, oh, by the way, even if you dealt Benintendi, you still have Chris Sale to show for it. So I have more confidence in Dombrowski to get something done at the deadline. The problem is he can't make the blockbuster move. He can't go out and get, you know, Noah Syndergaard or Jacob deGrom if those guys end up being available in New York, and I'm skeptical that they will be. You know, the Yankees sit there in the driver's seat like they did last year at the trade deadline. The thing is, last year at the deadline, we thought they won the deadline. They got Sonny Gray and Todd Frazier, and neither of those guys were very good. Who's the biggest name that could go at the trade deadline as a starting pitcher? Is it Jay Happ? If the Yankees get Jay Happ, I don't know that really changes my outlook on them. So I think Dombrowski will get deals done. I think they're going to be like Ziegler and Reed and Steve Pierce that we saw a week or so ago. I have a high degree of confidence that he gets that done. If the Yankees pull off a blockbuster, then they pull off a blockbuster, and the Red Sox really can't match that.
And we're talking to Adam Jones of 98.5, the Sports Hub. So Dombrowski deserves credit for the Red Sox success this year. What about Alex Cora? First season as manager, Red Sox best record in the MLB. How much credit does he deserve?
I mean, I think it's hard to say, but I mean, I guess you have to look at him and say he's steering this ship in the right direction. You know, I think the way he's managed Sale has been a major plus. You know, I think that's something that the Red Sox talked about in the past but didn't do. So we'll see. You know, if Chris Sale breaks down again, then Chris Sale breaks down again. But I think the way they've managed him, that's something that Alex Cora deserves credit for. I think getting Mookie Betts back at the top of the lineup was the right move. I always like him hitting there, and I know he misses out on some RBI opportunities, but I like him getting your lineup started at the top of the order. I think getting more out of guys like Bogaerts is a credit to Alex Cora. You know, that said, this is a pretty good team regular season the last couple of years. They've won back-to-back divisions. They might not even win the division this year, though that really wouldn't be any fault of Alex Cora necessarily compared to John Farrell the last couple of years. I think what we're seeing with the Red Sox on the field is just the subtraction of Farrell. You know, the lack of John Farrell is what's making a difference. I know that sounds harsh, and maybe that's not complimentary enough of Alex Cora, but I really think getting Farrell out of here and replacing him with Manager X, which in this case is Alex Cora, as long as Manager X wasn't Bobby Valentine or someone like that, I thought you were going to see the strides that this team took. So I don't think Cora's bad by any means. I think he's been hard to evaluate, quite frankly. They haven't hit a rough patch. There hasn't been a lot of moments where I feel like he's had to manage under the gun, and I think there's been some real shaky moments out of him. So I guess it's to be determined on Cora. I like some things that he's done, but I really do think it's more about the subtraction of Farrell and him no longer being here and the players not outright hating their manager as to why we're seeing the results on the field.
Adam Jones from 98.5 The Sports Hub, thanks so much for coming on and joining us today to talk Red Sox.
Yeah, of course, guys. Anytime.
Calling It is brought to you by American Broadcast Coaches, training the next generation of media talent and communicators. For more information, check out AmericanBroadcastCoaches.com.
Oh, yes! Welcome back to the show. Thanks to Adam Jones for joining us. This is the Calling It podcast, powered by CLNS. And yes, Lebowitz, despite everything we just said, the Red Sox do have the best record in baseball. My question to you to start the segment, does it matter? We've seen what the Red Sox have done in the postseason the last 2 years. What is it, one win, 1-6 in the last 2 years in the postseason? Like, it's making it tough for me to buy in, because until they do something in October, like Adam Jones said about David Price, I'm this way with the whole team. I don't care until they win meaningful games.
Yeah, I think given David Price's outing against the Yankees last week, you have to be a little skeptical, because that's one of your top three, top four starters. And once playoffs come around, the regular season doesn't matter. It's great that they're on pace for 110 wins right now, but you have to take into account this is a down year in the MLB.
Especially in the American League. There's four good teams in the American League. That's it.
Yeah, it's really between the Yankees, Astros, and Red Sox.
I'll put the Mariners in there.
You can put the Mariners in there. I don't think they're a legitimate contender come playoff time. But they're benefiting from just a bunch of crap teams. That said, you have to like what you see. Sale last month has been phenomenal, and I do love the way that Cora's been using him. He hasn't been over-pitching him. Porcello has been pitching pretty well. It's really just Price and the health of Pomerantz, of course. But come playoff time, if those guys are healthy, yeah, I'm confident as a Red Sox fan. But it's only July right now.
I'm not. I absolutely think they need to add an arm. I'm not confident with David Price starting a game in New York in the playoffs, which he's going to have to do. Jones brought up J.A. Happ. I'll give you this name. How about Matt Harvey? Since being cut by the Mets and picked up by Cincinnati, he's got a 3.80 ERA, a whip of 1.16. He's got experience pitching in a big market. You could probably get him for cheap. Give me a guy like Matt Harvey. Give me a guy like even Tyson Ross out in San Diego. Not that they're necessarily better than David Price, but I just don't want to see Price on the mound in New York to start a game in the playoffs. If you want to have him coming out of the bullpen, that's fine by me. Because the best he's ever been with the Red Sox, the most useful he's ever been to the Red Sox, was coming out of the bullpen in the playoffs last year. I'm fine with him in that role again. Do not start him. Do not dangle him out in front of 50,000 Yankees fans or 30,000, because they still won't sell out in the playoffs with those ticket prices, at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, I don't think you need to add a starting pitcher. Here's what you got right now. You got Chris Sale, obviously going to be in that rotation.
Right.
You have Rick Porcello, obviously going to be in that rotation. Eduardo Rodriguez, the Red Sox are like 13-2 when he starts this season.
But do you trust him to stay healthy?
I mean, that's a big question. But if he doesn't, then you're going to have to be forced to throw David Price out there.
That's what I'm saying. If you can get a guy for cheap, make the move now so you have him.
But the priority shouldn't be assuming someone's going to get hurt. The priority should be, what's your weakness right now? And the weakness right now is that bullpen.
And so you get a starter, you move David Price to the bullpen. Two birds, one stone.
But which one's easier to get? You act like starters just grow on trees. You mentioned a couple names. I don't know if I'd want to go out and get a Matt Harvey. Depends on the price, obviously. I don't know if he's worth it, if he's really worth it. And J-Hap, maybe. I just don't know if there's really a guy out there who's worth it. bullpen arms, there's plenty of them. You can find one. You can get them. It's just that's an easier trade to make, and you wouldn't have to give up quite as much.
So, but if would you have to give up the same either? You could make both trades. You could still make both trades, and I'll give you this one. How about to kind of combine everything we talked about in that first segment? Blake Swihart, mm-hmm. you'd have to get another catcher. Vasquez would have to be healthy or whatever. Oh, you figure that out. Blake Swihart, yep. Jackie Bradley Jr. in a mid-level prospect to Cincinnati for Matt Harvey and Billy Hamilton. That if the Red Sox make that trade and then go out and add a reliever, I'm all in.
What's Matt Harvey's sample size? I don't have to,
11 games. In 11 games, he's 4-3, but it's the Reds.
Yeah.
3.79 ERA and a WHIP of 1.16. I'll take that. Those are good numbers. That's about what Rick Porcello's doing.
Yeah. About I'd be curious to see the next number I'd look up. What's his record against the Yankees? How has he pitched against big market teams in big markets? He obviously played for the Mets.
Right, I will give him the benefit of the doubt of the big market, because the other thing is, at one point, he was the best player he was the best pitcher in baseball.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like when you get to that level, he was constantly pitching in front of sold-out crowds on national television in New York. Right. I will give Matt Harvey the benefit of the doubt with the big market. I think the Mets screwed him up. And there was resentment between him and the franchise. I think going out to Cincinnati, he was able to clear his head. He was able to fix his arm. I will give Matt Harvey the big game benefit of the doubt. I might be wrong, but I trust Matt Harvey in a big game right now a hell of a lot more than I trust David Price, especially in New York.
And then there's the health factor. There's, you know, is he going to stay healthy? Because Matt Harvey has his issues as well. I think you're trading one bruised piece of fruit for another. And I don't know.
But doesn't that have a history of working, right? A change of scenery?
Perhaps. I mean, I don't
know. Wait, when you say that, are you talking about Hamilton for Bradley, or are you talking about swapping out Price for Harvey?
No, Price for Harvey. The Hamilton-Bradley thing is irrelevant. I'd like Hamilton over Bradley. I think Bradley's someone who's going to end up walking anyway. They're not going to give him the money he wants. He's a Boris
guy. I'll tell you this. Hamilton's only hitting .220. That's still 20 points higher than Jackie Bradley Jr.
It's higher. At .220, it's a higher batting average. That's all that matters. And I think even more than that, he's a base running option.
Base running option, just as good defensively, yeah.
He's better on the base pass. And your leading stolen base guy right now is Benintendi, and then Betts, and then it's a big drop-off after that. So I'd be all for that. This is a team that's not that great in the base paths this season, compared to last year especially. At least in regard to stealing bases. So I'd be for I don't care about getting rid of JBJ. I trade him for a washing machine at this point. It's just David Price does serve a role in this team, and just parting with him is easier said.
I'm not talking about parting with him. I'm not saying that.
No, I know you're bringing in Harvey, but it's a risk. And I think you do know what you're going to get from David Price for the most part.
You're going to get a loss. You're going to get a big fat loss if you put him on the mound in New York. If you put him, I don't care about the rest of the regular season. Nobody does. And honestly, that's where the Red Sox hot start is kind of killing them, at least with the fans. Mm-hmm. Nobody's invested in this team because they're going to make the playoffs. If they don't at this point, I mean, holy crap. But they're going to make the playoffs, and they haven't won in October in years. So I don't think anybody really cares about what's going on with this team right now. I don't care about the rest of the regular season. Fine, let David Price start the rest of the regular season. I don't want to see David Price pitch in the playoffs. Not out of the starting rotation. Where do you trust him more in the playoffs? We were at that game last year against Houston, right? When were you most impressed with David Price as a Red Sox?
Oh, it was the game we saw him go four innings of shutout relief work, and he looked unbelievable, yeah.
In that Andrew Miller role, that is where he needs to be in the playoffs for the Red Sox to have a chance.
And that's value. Isn't that value?
Yes, but to do that, you need to go out and get another starting pitcher.
You see, I think, I don't know. It all comes back to
health. Then you're talking about Steven Wright or Drew Pomerantz starting a playoff game. If you're going to put Price in the bullpen and stick with who you have, you're risking one of those two guys starting a playoff game. I'd rather go out, get the extra arm, be comfortable.
Not necessarily. I mean,
Or it could be Velazquez.
It could be Erod. Well, you're missing Erod. So, Sale, Porcello, Erod, and Pomerantz. That's the four-man rotation.
I don't want Pomerantz in the playoffs either.
Your fourth guy is never going to be an outstanding pitcher.
No, but I think the Red Sox can go out and get a better fourth option than they have right now.
You see, I think Pomerantz is a pretty good pitcher.
We don't know if he's going to pitch again.
Didn't he do a simulated game last week? What's the status on that?
You know how it is with the Red Sox. Guy goes on the 10-day DL. We don't see him again for 3 years.
He did.
We just got Tyler Thornburg back yesterday. Not even back. We just got Tyler Thornburg yesterday.
He's only given up one earned run in 2 years. I think... I don't know. I don't think the priority should be getting another starting arm. I think if you want to make the argument that Price will be a bullpen guy come the postseason and get another starter who can fill that fourth starter role in the postseason, I could get behind that. But again, to get that other starter, you're talking about trading David. You're talking about trading a lot for a guy like that.
I don't think you have to give up that much to get a guy like Matt Harvey or get a guy like Francisco Liriano or Tyson Ross. We've seen the Red Sox rip off San Diego time and time again. Go back to the well, Dave. And I'll say this. Where you talk about needing a reliever. Where else are you going to go out and get a Cy Young winning relief pitcher? You going to go out and sign Eric Gagne? Hell no. There's one Cy Young reliever the Red Sox can get, and that's David Price. So we will see. Still a couple weeks left till the deadline. Obviously, we'll have you covered with all that. But on the other side, today actually marks somewhat of a sad anniversary in the sports community. We will touch on that right after this. This is Callin' It, powered by CLNS.
Callin' It is brought to you by American Broadcast Coaches, training the next generation of media talent and communicators. For more information, check out AmericanBroadcastCoaches.com.
Today, depending on when you're listening to this, us recording this Monday, July 9th, the last release of an EA Sports NCAA football game. That was NCAA 14 with who on the cover?
Who's on the cover of that?
Denard Robinson.
Oh, Denard. Michigan.
Back in the day, those games were the best. And then EA said, well, we don't feel comfortable making this without paying the players. They went to the NCAA, said we want to pay the players. We know the NCAA supports child labor, so they said no. And here we are, 5 years without what was one of the great sports franchise video games there's been. The basketball ones, too. Basketball one stopped in 2011. Football stopped in 2015. There was one baseball one, even, that was pretty good in, like, 05.
It was the same thing as MVP.
We never got a college hockey game, which is a shame. But the wet blanket that is the NCAA reminded today, as on all days, just it was such a good, and Madden sucks now. I said this a couple weeks ago, I'm cautiously optimistic about Madden 18, less so now that I've seen a few more details than I was a few weeks ago, but I still think I might enjoy it. But NCAA football was just, that was great.
I love these games where you can start in high school, and 2K does this too, NBA 2K, or they did a couple years ago. You can start in high school and work your player up to become like a blue chip recruit.
Yep.
That was my favorite mode in any game.
The Road to Glory.
The Road to Glory. It was awesome. Then you could take that player and play in Madden with that player. Like, what a cool concept. But the NCAA, they don't like paying people. They just don't. And it's unfortunate. But yeah, that along with the basketball games are great. I remember I had NCAA 09 with Blake Griffin on the cover.
Yep.
And that was
the last one.
I'm pretty sure it was. But those games are all awesome because there's so many more possibilities, so many more teams. You could create a dynasty with UNH.
Georgia State.
Yeah, like start at the bottom, then become the head coach of Alabama. It was awesome. It was the ultimate fantasy for sports
and
fans.
Not just that. They did, and this is kind of what Madden's lacking. You play enough games of Madden, which God knows I've done, and it gets repetitive.
Yeah.
Now, maybe I should play less Madden, but that's not the conversation I want to have right now. What NCAA football and basketball did, all the little things were right. They did, if you played a game at Texas A&M, they did the chants they do at Texas A&M. If you played a game at Clemson, you saw them run down the hill before the game. They had the ESPN presentation with the ESPN announcers and the ESPN graphics.
The fight songs.
And then they had all the fight songs, right. They had the band. They had the cheerleaders. They did a perfect job of capturing a college environment, but it wasn't, you know, you play Madden in Jacksonville, you're 4-10 and it's sold out. They didn't do that The Big House felt like the Big House.
Yeah.
A UMass game at Gillette Stadium felt like a JV high school game. Okay?
As it should have.
Right? It was empty. It was like they captured the essence of college football. It was such a perfect game. Especially in that last year. I felt like they really made a huge drive in that last year.
And I'm not a huge fan of college football, but that definitely makes me more curious with that. Like, I'll probably watch it a little bit more.
Oh, no, that game is what got me started watching college football.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I remember playing back in the day, NCAA 05, and that one, although the gameplay was, you know,
I mean, it's
kind of
it's
crude.
It's longer ago. It's different graphics.
But it was
fine.
You had the recruiting. You had that whole thing. And for sports fans, I love the recruiting. I love the scouting.
Oh, the recruiting
part.
Was so much fun. Yeah.
It's great. And when you get that five-star athlete, it's like a drug.
And there was an option in recruiting. There was, and I don't think this was in one of them. They changed recruiting year to year, but at least a couple of years, I remember, you could either sell the recruit on your school on a certain, so there were things. It was like, okay, playing time, scheme fit, proximity to home, program prestige, all that. So you could either pump up your school on one of those, you could say to the recruit, oh, I see you're thinking about Arkansas. Well, they don't have the program prestige we do. They're not as close to home for you as we are. And like, oh, that was my favorite. I never promoted the school I was going to. 90% of my recruiting was just talking down to the other schools that, and I did this when I was the head coach at like Middle Tennessee.
It's a gossiping college football fan's dream. It really is.
So it leads to the question, though, was it the greatest sports video game of all time?
With NCAA 14 specifically?
We'll say the last one, yeah.
I think NCAA 14 was a top sports video game when you count everything from the gameplay
to
the
modes. So let me say this. We're not counting the graphics. Because obviously in like 98, if they had the graphics they could make now, they would have. So I'm not counting what it looks like. But in terms of, yes, the modes, the ability, how well it played, how realistic it felt. You'd put NCAA 14 at the top?
Yeah, I think MLB The Show, although I haven't played in a few years, that was always a great game. I always loved the gameplay, and I always loved the career modes and that as well. I'd say those two, MVP, of course, is up there. I think NHL is kind of hyped. I think it's a good game. I don't think
it was better.
Yeah.
It was better.
And I think 2K has kind of monopolized the NBA video game market, and they're great. But again, that's kind of plateaued. I think everyone likes obscure games, and I think there's that nostalgia factor to it. So we're naming the old game.
Oh, right? No, the nostalgia factor helps. I don't want to say it's on the Mount Rushmore because another podcast kind of has that term taken, but I'll put it on the Parthenon with give me Madden 04 to 06. Madden 04 to 06. Anywhere in that range, any of those games stand on their own. Even with the graphics, they're still borderline as playable as today's Madden.
That's when you could actually do the 40-yard dash and the
no,
combine.
It was actually before that. But it was when the My Player had a more RPG feel. You had, like, the apartment. Players' helmets could actually get knocked off.
Yeah.
They had the radio show during the franchise. So Madden, you could create a fan.
Yeah.
Madden 04 to 06, give me anything in there. That still holds up. Give me All-Star Baseball 2005. Was a great game by Acclaimed Sports with Derek Jeter on the cover.
Is that the one where you had Future Fenway Park?
Yes.
I love that
game. And
it
had the Six Flags commercial song. It was like the only notable song in that. I can't comment on the show because it's not for Xbox, which is stupid as hell. But I'm not going to go on that rant right now. So Madden 04 to 06, All-Star Baseball 05. This year's 2K was outstanding. Give me NCAA Football 14, and then I'm going to throw two more on. Fight Night.
That's
which
a great,
is a great
one.
We had a lot of fun with that in college, if you remember.
I don't think I ever played that.
You might know that because that was my sophomore year, so we were still getting to know you.
Yeah.
Fight Night, the most recent one, and Tiger Woods is... I'm not going to put Tiger Woods
09.
On this. No, I'm going to take Tiger Woods. It's not quite on the same... I don't want to put it in the same column as
Tiger Woods 09
is like
a
step below. It's like a step below.
One thing about All-Star Baseball 2K5, you could do pickup games and play in cornfields. So you could do pickup games with like legends.
All-Star Baseball 2005? Or the show
2005. 2K5. All-Star Baseball 2K5.
I do remember that.
You could do cornfields and play with Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig.
So all the 2K5s, because it was when it was ESPN branded. You had MLB, NHL... NBA, you had all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you could do that in NHL too. You could like go play on a pond.
Yeah. And that was awesome. I'll go old school though. Is Mario Kart a sports game?
No.
It's racing.
No, it's a Mario game.
Okay,
no,
right. Okay, then I'll go.
I wouldn't call Mario Tennis a sports game, so I might not be the person to ask. But okay,
and that makes sense. Ready to Rumble on 64. That's a fighting game. I remember playing that one when I was younger. NHL 94.
NHL 94 is a classic. I still have that from my N64.
I had NHL 99 on PC. That was awesome.
MLB All-Star Baseball 99. For N64 is good. Remember Triple Play Baseball by EA Sports was good.
Baseball.
I meant to put, by the way, MVP Baseball 05 on my parking
lot. Of course.
I feel like the backyard games kind of are in their own category.
Yeah. It's like, child's
baseball. It's a little different. Yeah. They fit. I'll put them with Mario Kart. But okay. We're talking like, and even though Drew Bledsoe's on the cover of one, I'm talking licensed, you know, professional sports simulation games.
Yeah.
So what we had NCAA football, Madden 04 to 06, All-Star Baseball, MVP Baseball 05.
All-Star Baseball 2K5.
All-Star Baseball 2K5, 2K Basketball this year, and Fight Night.
Yeah, I think that's a fair
list. That's a good list.
And I think the more recent we get, obviously the graphics get better.
Right, the graphics get better, but I remember like NASCAR Race to Glory or whatever it was. There's one year you could like fight other drivers. Like you don't see that now.
Slugfest?
I didn't like Slugfest because I'm like a stickler for realism.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't like it if you
so
did.
I didn't like
NFL
Slugfest.
The Blitz.
Blitz, I was okay with.
NFL Street, was that one?
I liked playing those in arcades. I didn't like playing them at home.
Okay.
I also remember I couldn't have Slugfest at one point because I was in fourth grade when this happened.
Yeah,
this would have been
too much.
03, 04. No, but I wanted it, and there was a report on the news the night I asked. I just got my tonsils out.
Yeah.
And my parents were actually like, we'll go buy you video games. Like, it was the coolest my parents had ever been, right? So I told them what I wanted, and Slugfest and All-Star Baseball 05 were on the list. Those were the two games I wanted because it was in the summer. And I remember literally right before my dad went to go to the store to get the games, there was a news report on about Slugfest and about how it was too violent for kids, and my mom put her foot down.
Of course.
We need a hero, though, to bring some of these games back.
One more game.
One more game.
More game, and then we can get to to a story. NBA Ballers.
No, that's like NFL Street. That game
but
do
it was
for me.
I don't think it was. Maybe I'm thinking of NBA Live. But you could use a player, and it would be like you'd go to like Venice Beach to like a basketball
That was
court
a
there.
Game mode in NBA Live.
Oh, maybe you're right. All right.
Ballers
and then your
like,
players
Ballers
added to the
was
roster.
Like NFL Street.
Okay, I see.
We need a hero to bring some good games back. Speaking of heroes, yeah. Alex Lebowitz, we do want to close on this note. Can you talk about this, though? Or is this part of an ongoing investigation?
I talked about it on my morning show, like, literally 5 minutes after that.
Okay. I don't want to get in trouble for corrupting an in-process police investigation.
I don't think it matters.
Should we just drop it right here and bring it back in 2 weeks?
Just cliffhanger? I'll say it. This morning, I called the cops on two people who were breaking into cars. It was extremely exciting. So I get to work at about 5:15 in the morning, and I'm coming down the street from the parking garage, take a right, and go to the back door of my studio. And it's a little alley that goes out one street, comes out another. It's a two-way alley, pretty much. And there's these people walking towards me. I go inside. They look like sketchy figures. I was kind of like, okay, 5 in the morning. What are you guys doing walking around? So I continue to go up the stairs, turn around, go into the bathroom, which is against the alley, a window looking out towards the alley. I move the curtain. I look down. Lo and behold, this man is breaking into a vehicle in that alleyway, and his partner in crime is scouting other vehicles to break into. So I went ahead. I called the cops. 10 minutes later, they're there. I give them my description. I gave them one description of the hat that one of the people was wearing. It's like, oh, that person's right over there. They go around, arrest two people, come back, put me in the back of a police car, take me around the corner to identify them because they couldn't see in the car. I could see out, though. And lo and behold, it was those two people. They got arrested, and a person who got their car broken into got their materials back, which is great. So I felt good about it, but they did see me, and I think I was the only person that they saw. And another small detail. When the officer dropped me back off to go back into the studio, the perpetrators were in clear sight. They clearly saw me. So they knew I ratted them out, essentially.
So you're a rat.
And they know where
I
work. You
got Henry Hill over here.
They know where I work. So we'll see. I think, you know.
I'd be careful going in tomorrow.
Well, they're going to be they might be released on personal recognizance. Who knows? I think I could take them, though. They're both, not to disparage people who are addicted to drugs, but they're all loopy. I think I could take them.
I don't know. Have you seen Breaking Bad? They got some fight in them.
Yeah. That's meth, though. They're not doing meth and lol. I think I could outrun them, too. So
As long as you can out. You don't have to outrun them. You just have to outrun whoever you're with. Although it's just you.
It's me, myself,
good luck,
and I.
Sir. Good luck. All right, so we are off potentially next week. Don't count. Maybe.
I think we can squeeze it in. We'll see.
There may or may not be a show next week. Don't count on it. Follow us on Twitter for updates at Calling It Podcast. There will for sure be a show the week after that. I will be here. Alex Lebowitz, if he has not been chased down by criminals, will be here. So, and that will be, I think that's, let me pull up the old calendar real quick. That will be our second to last show before the MLB trading deadline. But there will be a lot to talk about. That will also,
All-Star break.
That will be the week of training camp. We made it through the summer, baby! Football is back! 2.5 weeks, let's go! All right.
Can't wait.
Next show, football. That's right. This has been the Calling It Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Calling It Podcast. We're powered by CLNS Media. Check them out online, clnsmedia.com. For Alex Lebowitz, I'm Alex Barth. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.